Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just want to thank you, whether we write down 1,000 or whether we can just frequently thank you, whichever you would prefer. But Lord, we do have a beautiful psalm that you've given us to be read responsively, generally, was what it was done during the time when it was written. And we want to do that today. Your mercy endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. Kesed ha-halam. Mercy endures forever. So lead us now as we would come to you this morning, and then guide us in praying as well. And may we be thankful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a Maranatha little praise song to begin with. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. So let's sing along if you, or listen however you would prefer. Take your notes, please. I have the 26 verses printed out there of this psalm. And this is called an antiphonal psalm, meaning it goes kind of back and forth. And the Levites or the priests would typically read the first part, and then the congregation would in unison respond, "For his mercy endures forever." So let us read this morning and be listening for what we're giving thanks for, and then to respond with understanding of what we're saying. We will say it over and over again, "For his mercy endures forever." But are we really understanding what we're saying when we're thanking him for that? So as we begin, we have three verses that begin, "Oh, give thanks." And then we have verses 4 through 9 with primarily about creation. And then we have another little section in here about the history of it, verses 10 through 22, particularly about conquering the seven nations when they came into the Holy Land. And then 23-24, it's remembering us in our lowly state. And I think that "us," although it was primarily for Israel in that time, applies to you and I as well. So 23, 24, 25 are exactly for you and for me. And then 26 is the closing stanza, O give thanks to the God of heaven. So as we read this, let's read with thankful hearts and understanding. So I'll begin the first part, and then if you will just respond, for his mercy endures forever. So we begin, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. O give thanks to the God of gods. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state. And rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Let's read this last verse together. Oh, give thanks to the God of heavens, for his mercy endures forever. How we need to be reminded of that. How many times do we kind of fall into the trap of thinking, you know, I'm just a mess, fouled up again. The Lord's done with me, I'm sure. We need to remind ourselves that's just a resistance idea to keep us from doing what the Lord wants us to do. Because if we can start feeling sorry enough for ourselves, we don't do anything but feel sorry for ourselves, and we're worthless as far as shining that light into that dark place, because that's what the dark place is filled with anyway, is self-pity and mess. But we want to recognize and remember his mercy endures forever. So he tells his people here 26 times, his mercy endures forever. And when you end up reciting that 26 times, chances are you'll remember a little of it. For his mercy endures forever. So we begin by, giving thanks to the Lord, to Yahweh, L-O-R-D in caps, in the Old King James, to give thanks to the Elohim of little Elohims, to give thanks of Adonai, or little Lord, big L, small O-R-D. Just three different titles, really, or names of way of saying Jehovah, of saying God. And, of course, God is the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we have something about creation. We always have something about creation whenever God is speaking to us. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but we have, he's always emphasizing typically creation and so often emphasizes prophecy in the Bible, which is so important because it's prophecy that sets the Bible apart. It's prophecy that gives us confidence that the Bible is inspired by one outside of the time-space dominion, when he can tell in advance what's going to happen, and then it happens and we see. Wow! You don't have any other books like that. I mean, there's so many. Everything about Christ is unique, right? So don't let the world beat you down by typical ideas out there that all roads lead to heaven if you're just sincere, and then the whatabouts. Well, if you're right, well, what about? What about? What about? Or they may say, I don't like there's only one way. I'd like to have five or six different ways to heaven. Well, you know, if you're a sinner like I am, and you're so concerned about being saved at all, I'm just glad there's one way, right? I'm just glad there's a way that my sins all taken away and all wiped away, and the slate is clean, and I'm purchased by his blood forever. And I'm a member of his family. We are inheritors of his kingdom. It's just such an awesome thing. And so he has given us that treasure in these cracked pots to give to the world. And he says, you are the light of the earth. You are the salt of the world. I think this salt has lost its savor half time, right? But we want to be salt and light into that dark world. And so that means we don't want to get all caught up in resistances. We need to remember Satan. You know, we think sometimes how powerful he is, and he is for us, but he's a created being. And if you remember the Job study, those of you who went through that study, it was so clear in that study that he was absolutely limited to what he can do. So God is limiting Satan to what he can do in your life. So if you really go to the point of saying, oh, I don't know why Satan's doing this to me, this is just too much, I can't happen, it's not fair or anything like that, you're really coming against the Lord, because the Lord has got him on a chain for you. He's never going to give him more leeway than God knows you need. And he's the foil out there. He's been defeated, what, for 2,000 years? He's just usurping his position. But yet God's leaving him there to accomplish what God wants him to do. And he's going to stay there until Jesus comes a second time, and he's going to put him in the center of the earth or wherever it is, for 1,000 years, and at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be let out a little bit, and then we'll find out that the heart of rebellious man is still rebellious. Even in a perfect 1,000-year millennial reign, there'll be many that have been through that will turn and rebel against God. So where'd that come from? It came from our rebellious heart. It didn't come from Satan. Satan can tempt you, but he can't make you sin. Right? Satan can bother you, but he can't have you as his child. So we need to remember that it is God who is the creator. So we have here, he does great wonders, who by wisdom made the heavens, laid out the earth above the waters, made great lights to rule by day, the sun and the moon and the stars to rule by night. So we have a little bit of creation there as he is laying that out. And then we have him faithful to deliver Israel from Egypt, from their bondage, through the Passover there, through the death of the firstborn. That was the 10th plague that broke the back, so to speak, of the Egyptians. And he brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. He divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it. It wasn't the Reed Sea that they could wade through. He went through the middle of the sea, and the sea crashes closed and traps all of Pharaoh's army, and apparently Pharaoh too. It says overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Then he leads the people through the wilderness, and what a story that is. Just because of their unbelief, what should have taken them no more than a month to get to the promised land took them 40 years, 1 year for each of the day of the survey where they came back with a bad report. To him who led the people through the wilderness, struck down great kings. And we had those two famous kings. Sihon is in the southern area just east of the Dead Sea, in the area where we would have Amman, Jordan, and so forth today. And then Og is up in the Golan Heights. Og had a bed 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide. 9 cubits. Well, he was a giant, but we see him killed in battle here. There's a real story about that Og battle, which is amazing if you ever want to look at it. They had a stronghold in Bashan that was impregnable. They had it was a revetment, kind of a pit-like natural thing with just one entrance into it, and they had that fortified, and there's no way that anybody could take it. So what does God do? God brings them all out to meet Israel at the border. They're all out in the open now, and he just mows them all down. That's the end of Og and his long bed. Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And then he gave the land as a heritage to Israel. A heritage to Israel, his servant, who remembered us in our, and now we go back to us now, who remembered us in our lowly state. Aren't you glad he remembered you in your lowly state? Rescued us from our enemies. Gives food to all flesh. Amazing. And then finally, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. So may we have thankful hearts, right? We have so much to be thankful for. But I like that little praise song we said there, what? Because he's given Jesus Christ his son, right? That's the capper, isn't it? That's the main thing. Being washed by his blood, salvation forevermore. Father, we thank you for Psalm 136. We thank you for the thanksgiving that's in that psalm. And Lord, we thank you that this week, this nation has a day that we give thanks. But may we, as your children, give thanks continually, every day of the year, every day of our life, until you take us home, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. And on top of the list is that you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, for us to redeem us, to pay the price, to forgive us of our sins. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. And through that sacrifice, the veil of the temple was rent top to bottom, opening it for all of us to come boldly to the throne of grace. So we have that opportunity again this morning. Come directly to you in prayer. And so now, as we have a few moments, may we be led by your Spirit, and may we redeem this time in prayer. In Jesus' name, let us pray.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Lord. Because
Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the blood of your Son, which has cleansed us and washed away our sin. We thank you for that gift of being available for every single person, Lord, and we know that most have not received it yet. Help us to be in prayer for those that you put in our path, that they may know you and be yours. And help us to just be grateful for what you have done for us. We were as lost and as black as the blackest sinner, Lord. We know your word says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us who's a believer is an absolute supernatural miracle. And we thank you for the hundreds and hundreds of millions of miracles over the last couple of thousand years, especially since you came, Lord. And so guide us as we go this day. And Lord, Thursday we will meet many of us with people who do not know you. And I pray for openings, Lord, in that hard-heartedness of the unbeliever, and I pray that they would see in each of us something that they want, and they would ask us something about you to open the door, something about Jesus Christ, something about eternal life, something about salvation. And so, Lord, may we be available for whatever you have for us, Lord, with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.